We're in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, and I'm going to ask that we stand and we read a few verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer and you may be seated. Now, tonight, we are covering verse 10, 11, and 12. So by that, you should get out early, right? It's just three verses, so surely, that's what's going to happen. Now, so keep dreaming. We'll see. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we sure love you. We're so grateful for your Son. We're thankful for the righteousness of Christ applied to our heavenly account. Father, we're so grateful that you're not forgetful of our labor of love, the work that we do for the cause of Christ. Lord, it may be tonight that there's someone here that has labored for you for a long time. Maybe they wonder if there's anything to show for it. But Heavenly Father, your word is very clear. You're not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. You remember. And Lord, one of these days you're going to show us just how much you remember when you reward us forever and ever and ever. Lord, I pray the Word of God would encourage workers, Christians, that want to serve you and have served you for so long. And Lord, for others, I pray that it'd be a great challenge. There's nothing greater than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would lay practical ways that we can serve Him by serving others. Let us all be helped, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God remembers. That's what verse 10, 11, and 12 is telling us. God remembers. You ever had someone tell you something's going to happen and they forgot? You remember that? I remember when I was 15, my brother turned 16. And for his 16th birthday, he got a $20 bill. Now, you'd have to understand way back when, that was a lot of money, a $20 bill. I got my first job at 16. It was $1.60 an hour. And I was making big bucks, $1.60 an hour. My brother got $20, and I said, well, Dad, I've never got... He said, well, when you're 16, you'll get $20. Oh, man, I couldn't wait. 16 came. Now, Dad, you're in heaven, so this is my story. I'll tell it my way. My 16th birthday came. Mom cooked me a cake. We had the candles. We blew them out. But where's my $20? I didn't get my $20. I waited a whole year for $20. 3 days later, Dad says, oh, yeah, son, I've got a $20 bill for you. Whoa, you forgot. I think the Holy Spirit reminded him. I don't know, but I finally did get my $20. But, oh, you ever had someone promise something like that? You're going to get. Now, I've pastored here for 36 and a half years. Could I tell you how many times someone said, Pastor, I just got a letter in the mail, and it looks like I'm going to be mega rich, and I'm going to build you a church when that happens. In fact, they wrote me a letter, and they asked for directions to my house, and they asked me to use if they could use my name in publicity and let everyone know that the publishing clearinghouse has chosen me. I didn't have the heart to say, yeah, I got one of those letters and threw it in the trash can. Had another guy say, Pastor, I had a dream. Now, this is a guy who owned a car dealership up in Washington, came to our church. And he said, I had a dream. And I had a dream of a large church. And you're the pastor. And on the, there was a plaque on the wall that just, it just said, by God's grace, I was able to donate all the money to build that building. I said, that's a good dream. Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. 2 months later, he moved back to California. There went that dream. You ever had someone make a promise and they didn't come through? Let me tell you something. God's made us a promise and he's coming through with it. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. When God promises it, you can take it to the bank. You can just say yea, or you can just say amen, so be it. And here in verse 10, 11, and 12, the word of God is reminding us that God remembers. This is for that Christian who labors in the nursery for year after year after year, and nobody seems to know. This is for that teacher who's been so faithful with four-year-olds or fourth graders, or heaven help us, fifth graders. And you have taught that and you struggled sometimes because keeping their attention and keeping their focus, and you're pouring yourself and you study so hard and you get there and sometimes it seems like chaos on steroids. And you wonder, does anyone remember? But I want you to know the Bible tells us tonight that God remembers. And he knows your labor of work and love. And he knows what you've done for the cause of Christ. And one of these days, he's going to reward us accordingly. And so I want us to see tonight how God remembers. I know I could have included many other verses with this, but I just want to stop right there and let you know the word of God tells you. Remember those years as a teenager, you served the Lord in your youth group? I know maybe you haven't been doing all that stuff right now, but God remembers those years. He remembers that love for Jesus that you had. He remembers those days that you stood on stage and you sang in a youth choir. He remembers those youth camps you went to, those youth camps you worked at. He remembers those vacation Bible school that you gave out maybe goodies in the refreshments, or you taught a lesson, or you used puppets, or he remembers your labor, how you'd have to go to work and then you get off and then you'd go for VBS. He remembers all that. God remembers your work and labor of love. Also, I want to challenge you. If you're here and say, well, I've never had that. You know, I've been a Christian, but I've never really plugged in like that. Let me tell you, one of the greatest joys there is serving Jesus. Laboring for the Master. And so we're going to look in these passages of Scripture and see that God remembers. And what God remembers, God rewards. And it's going to be a blessing and challenge to all of us to keep on serving the Lord till the very end. Let us keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, first of all, we have the comfort that's mentioned to us in verse 10. Notice the comfort and how that is stated. The Bible says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. He's writing to the Christians in Palestine. And the Apostle Paul is telling them, I want to encourage you. Now, these are Christians that have served the Lord longer than anyone else. You see, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is writing young Christians. But these have been those who've served the Lord since the days of Pentecost. And they've labored, and they've sacrificed, and they've promoted every way to get the gospel around the world. But now it might seem that maybe now they're forgotten. You know, now there's more talented Christians. Now there's more better speakers and better preachers and better churches scattered around the world. So maybe it's not about us anymore. Maybe everyone has forgotten about us, but God hasn't. And the Apostle Paul wants them to know, wait a minute, the Bible tells us God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. He wants them to know there's comfort in the fact that though man may forget, man may have forgotten that you used to sing a special in the church you were raised up. Maybe man's forgotten that you served at a youth camp or vacation Bible school. Maybe man has forgotten, because we do forget. But God hasn't. He hasn't forgotten those years you sacrificed. He has forgotten you adults who, as a young couple, said, we're going to serve God with our family. And while other young adults had brand new cars and all these nice things, you were given to God's work. And you were helping missionaries travel around the world. And you were being a blessing here and a blessing there. And maybe your bank account never grew, because your heart wasn't in the things of this world. Your heart was in the things of another world. God is not unrighteous to forget that. And one of these days, He's going to show you how much He appreciates all you've done for the cause of Christ. Those days that are only memories, and you think everyone's forgotten. No, they haven't. Miss Chambers, I see you, and I think about you and Bill going to Peru 55 years ago, and how that today there's tens of thousands of believers in northern Peru, because they went there on a shoestring and a prayer. Almost nothing. For the most part, funding their own expenses. But God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Met a young lady whose family lives in Mexico, or was raised up in Mexico, helping missionaries and being a missionary, and she's here tonight. And, you know, I'm sure there were a lot of times where the family had very little to buy extra and do this and do that, and while everybody else had name brand this and name brand that. She had whatever. But let me tell you, God's not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. Amen. You've been investing in a heavenly bank account. I'll tell you this story and I'll go on. When I preached my father's funeral, it was the most joyous funeral I've ever had, because he's in heaven. We're rejoicing. We're living out our faith. We're not sad. We're happy for him. After the funeral, I go to my mother's house. It was a two-bedroom trailer. Still is. Small little thing. 14 foot wide. Average length. Two-bedroom. I'm sitting in the living room. I said, Mom, Dad took care of you. Let me see. What can we do to help you? And she said, Son, I'm going to be okay. I get my dad's Jim's retirement from the military. I get my Social Security. It's all I need. And she said, and Mike, we've never had much. And I said, Mom, you're the richest woman I know. And she looked at me like, her son's now crazy. I said, you're richest woman I know, because you've laid all your treasure up in heaven. You'll just have to get there to see it. See, I know wealthy people that have not sacrificed like my mother and father have for the cause of Christ. And they may have a big mansion here, but it's not going to be so big up there. Remember, the greatest offering in the New Testament was the widow with two mites, and Jesus saw it. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. I see, first of all, God's memory He's not unrighteous to forget. Now, by this statement, we can see the part of expressing the righteousness of Christ is not to be forgetful of those who labor for him. How many times do we verbally share with those around us how much we appreciate their effort for Christ? That's part of Christ's righteousness. In other words, someone plays the piano. How many times do we say, "I enjoyed that"? They sang in the choir. How many times do we say, "I just love it seeing you up there in the choir"? They play in the orchestra. And pastor even forgets to say how good they are all the time. But I love them and I appreciate them. And they add so much to the service. They work behind the soundboard. And we forget to say, "Thank you, Roy. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Philip. Thank you for everybody who works there. Thank you for everybody, Brandon, at the 8:30 service. Thank you for serving. You're behind the scenes and nobody sees you. And maybe you're in the nursery. Maybe you're in Little Bear. Maybe on Wednesday night you're in Awana's and nobody sees it, but God does. And he remembers." And you and I ought to also remember, because that's being Christ-like. If God remembers, we should too. We should too. I mentioned I was at my father's funeral, and one of the highlights of it to me was my pastor and his wife was there. The pastor who led me to Christ and I grew up under until I went off to Bible college. And I was there, and Brother Paul and Miss Sitton. Miss Sitton was losing her memory at that time. And I went over to her. I said, "Miss Sitton," her name was Wilma Sitton. I said, "Miss Sitton," S-I-T-T-O-N. I said, "Miss Sitton, it's so good to see you. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed you. You're the greatest Sunday school teacher I ever had." And she looked at me like, "No, Mike, that's not..." I said, "Yes, it is. You're the greatest Sunday school teacher I ever had." And she said, "Oh, Mike, that's nice of you to say." I said, "You are, because I never had a Sunday school teacher love me like you love me." See, it wasn't the great lesson. It was the great love. Amen. By the way, every Sunday school teacher can do that. You can love those kids. Tears started swelling in her eyes and a few came down her cheek. And I said, "That's true." I went to Pastor Sitton. I said, "Brother Sitton, it is my hope that one day, I could be half the man you are. You were the perfect pastor. You loved me as a teenager. You were a blessing to my heart. I can't tell you how much I love and appreciate you." Now, they're both in heaven now. But it's, if God remembers, you and I ought to have that Christ-like characteristic about us. Would we? Is it too much for us just say, "Hey, God bless you. Thank you for serving. Thank you for serving the Lord. Thank you for being a missionary in Peru. Thank you for serving in Mexico. Thank you for working in children's church. Thank you for being in the nursery all this long. Thank you for helping out for the cause of Christ." You and I should encourage other workers by thanking them for all they do for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's memory. God is not unrighteous to forget. Secondly, he's not unrighteous to forget our work. Now let me stop right here and mention about work. Work is toil. Work is sweat. Work is difficult times. It's not always desirous. Work is just that. It's work. Know that all labor for Christ is not fun. You say, "I work in the nursery." Yeah, you've probably had several blowouts. Now you'll have to have raised kids before you understand what that is. Nothing fun about it. I remember in my very first church, holding our very first child, diapers, and then rubber plastic diapers over that. Not diapers, but rubber pants that you put over cloth diapers. And I'm just about to get up to preach, and all of a sudden it's wet and it's warm in my lap. There was a crack in those plastic diapers. I never moved behind the pulpit all morning while I preached. You see, work's not always fun. You study for that lesson and it just didn't turn out like you hoped. And there was this one child that just would not listen, or there was this chaos, or they had too much sugar, or something happened. And you thought it would be so different. But it's work. And it's toil. And it's sweat. And it's long hours. It's still work. But it's work for Christ. It's work for Christ. You're working that bus route and it's pouring down rain in Oregon. And it's not the warm rain you have in the South where you like to walk out in it and it feels like a shower. It's the cold rain. Cold rain in Oregon. But you're serving the Lord. You're working for the Lord. He remembers that. He's not unrighteous to forget your work. We don't always get our joy by the work, but we ought to get our joy for who we work for. We did it for Jesus. We didn't do it so people would recognize it. We did it for Jesus. And not so he'd recognize us, although we see he will. But we did it because we love him. The Bible says our work, and then it says our motive, labor of love. That's why we did it. It was a labor of love. Herein lies our motivation. A man or woman may be motivated by their mate, may be motivated by their children to work, may be motivated by their responsibilities. Maybe they have rent or mortgage or car payments. And they don't always love the work, but they're motivated because they want to meet their bills, or they want to provide for their wife or their children or their family, or they want to take care of things that are their responsibilities. And so they may not like the work because it's just work. But they work anyway because they're motivated by a love for someone else. That's the same way it is in God's work. You may be an usher and not enjoy it all the time. You may be this and not enjoy it all, or that, or this, or the other thing. And you don't always enjoy the work of God because it's still just work. But you ought to be motivated out of love for who you're working for. Amen. You see, that's the motivating thing. That's the thing that gets us to keep on going. When you work on a bus route and for whatever reason, five kids just quit. They reach that age where they want to be more popular than church kids. And your heart's broken. And your labor seems like it didn't bring forth fruit. But God knows all that. You didn't do it for them. You did it for Him. And if you'll keep on serving for Him, that's the motivation. That's what keeps us going on. That's what encourages us. I've been a pastor now for a while. And I've always heard pastors say, oh, the Monday morning resignation. You know, you think, oh, it was so bad yesterday, I'm going to resign today. I never had that. Because I never felt like I was working for people. I always thought I was working for Jesus. And if you work for Jesus, that's good enough. Whether it was a good day or a bad day or indifferent, if you're doing it for Jesus, it's a good day. It's a good day. Our motive, our resources, all of it we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian labors for Christ because he's motivated by love. Paul says it this way, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Oh, when we see how much God loves us, we love him because he first loved us. We're motivated by love for the Savior. That's why we can work in the nursery and endure a blowout. That's why we can teach children and they're running all over the place and we're teaching the lesson, you know, like. But that's why we keep on serving. It's all for Him, a labor of love. And then notice it also says, showed for His name. which ye have showed toward his name. Well, that's a wonderful thing. In other words, we labor in Christ's stead and take on his love and his kindness in doing so. It is not us we represent in the work. It is not us we represent in the labor of love. We are representing him. And that's why we do it. And that's how we do it. We don't do it like, well, we had a good day, everything will be good. I have a bad day, get in here, get walk, come on. It's not about us. It's all about him. And so we serve when people notice and we serve when no one notices. Because we're not doing it for us. We're doing it for him. We're serving the Lord Christ. And it's so important and so much comfort to realize God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, and we're serving in his stead. You know, Jesus went about doing good, and that's what he wants us to do, isn't it? We're his ambassadors. Let's just go about serving others and doing good. Showed toward his name. Titus chapter 2 verse 10 says this, the most amazing verse to me, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. It's that amazing phrase, adorn the doctrine of God. How do you make God look better? How can anyone make God look better? You make God look better when they can see it with their own two eyeballs, and we're his ambassadors. So when you serve others in the stead of Christ, you are adorning the doctrine of God, because they cannot see God, but they can see you serving in his stead. And that's why we smile, and that's why we serve, and that's why we're happy in the Lord. It's not because everything's going well. It's because we're serving the one who's always well, and that's Jesus. And we can do it with humility. We don't care that our name's not in the lights, and we don't care that nobody notices, and we don't care how hard it is and how tough it is and how enduring we have to be, because it's who we serve. And that's why it's important, and that's why we do it. We're just one small part of all of God's people serving around the world. And it's not our part that's so important, but it's our Savior we serve that's so important. And that's why we do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We're doing it for him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Heartily. Put your whole heart in it. Whatever you do. You work a secular job. Put your heart in it. You have a job that has nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with the cause of Christ. Put your heart in it as unto the Lord. Maybe you're stocking shelves, but do it as unto the Lord. Put a smile on your face. Put a whistle in your throat. Put a song in your humming. I don't mean you have to sing a special, but be happy about it. Over the years, I've told you how when I was 17 years of age, I graduated high school. I already decided I was going to go at least 1 year to Bible college. But that summer, God called me to preach, 1972. I worked in a place about 10 to 12 hours a day, minimum wage, straight pay, no overtime. And it was the most ungodly place. Cursing, swearing, country music playing all the time, everybody. Honestly, for a church boy who was raised up in church, it was depressing. It was repulsive to me. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to I didn't want to associate with anyone because I felt like this is so worldly. I'd clean out the trash cans. There would be at least 30 or 40 beer cans from the manager who operated the plant that I worked at. How he functioned at all, I do not know. I knew he was having an affair with a secretary, and he had a beautiful wife and two children. I knew all the stuff, and I didn't like it. One Wednesday night, I went to church, and my pastor preached on, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And it dawned on me that I had been serving as though I'm serving the very men that I was repulsed by, the very women I didn't want to associate with. But that night I went to the altar and I got right with God. And that next morning I went to church. I went to work. I started singing. I started humming. I started smiling. I started saying, "It's a good day. Good to see you. Hope you have a great day." Started talking to people. Let me tell you, that happened about the end of June. I was there for two more months. God completely turned the environment of that plant around. Now, I'm not saying I'm a great evangelist, but God used a teenage boy who just realized whatever he does, he ought to do for the Lord. I started humming. I started singing. I would go by the ladies who worked in a big steamroller, and I'd be humming a tune, and the lady said, "I know that song." I said, "You do?" She said, "That's Blessed Assurance." I said, "You know how it goes?" She said, "I sure do." I said, "Sing it." She said, "Blessed Assurance." The other ladies who were working on that started singing it as well. Every morning I'd hum a different hymn, and they'd sing it. The secretary who was having an affair with the boss, I got to lead her to Christ. One of the guys I thought was one of the worst persons ever, I found out to be a backslidden Christian who had a truck route. He'd come in, he'd curse and swear and everything, but in his van, I was able to pray with him, and he rededicated his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that became almost like a little bit like church. To go to work, all because you start doing everything as unto the Lord. Let me say, he'll do that anywhere, in any factory, in any place, because you're his representative. The power is not in you as a Christian. The power is in Christ who lives inside of you. And if you'll just let him out, you'll be surprised what God can do. Our labor of love and a memory. Our ministry. Ministering to God is ministering to others. The Bible says ministering to the saints and do minister. Now, ministering to the saints, how do we minister to other believers? By God's grace. You say, "Well, they don't deserve it." I know, but you don't either. None of us deserve it. That's God's grace. You minister to a Christian that didn't speak to you this morning. "Oh, they're upset with me." No, their mind was on other things. Put a little grace in everything you do. You'll enjoy it so much better. Give people grace. By the way, we're all just sinners saved by grace. Don't forget that. And have grace toward every other believer. And one of the ways we show the love of Christ and we labor and work for Christ is by serving one another. Are you motivated to serve? Are we motivated to serve? Do we have enough love in our heart for Jesus that we're willing to serve? The last few weeks, I've been bringing up Brian and Alpha. Brian's from South Korea and Alpha's from China. And on the 8:30 service, they'll stand out in the weather and greet people. Amen. And they're just learning. But they're learning to serve God. Amen. Tonight as I see the choir, I see Brian over here and he's singing. He's learning to serve God. And that's the most wonderful thing you could ever do with your life. is to be a servant of the Lord. And how do you do it? You do it by ministering to others. Say, I can't bring a gift to God, but I can be a blessing to others, and so can you. And so can every one of us here. Ministering to the saints, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they who are of the household of faith. Especially Christians. Especially Christians. Let's be a blessing to each other. We see our ministry. In verse 11, we see the challenge. Verse 10, we see the comfort. In verse 11, we see the challenge. The challenge is that the Apostle Paul desired for all of us to serve the Savior. A desire meant for all of us. Notice what he says. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. God desires for every single one of us to labor and work for Him. And He's not unrighteous to forget. Do you realize you're a part of God's plan for laboring? I know we all like to hear the choir. Do you like to be in the choir? I know we all like to be served. Do you like to serve? I know we all like to hear the music. Do you like to play the music? I know we all like that there's ladies in the nursery. Do you want to be one of them? I know we all, we all like the service, but God wants us to like to serve. And that's God's plan for our life. He wants us to like to serve. Because that's like Him. That's Christ-like. He gave His life a ransom for many. A diligence we must embrace in verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Diligence. What? You got to be faithful. You can't hit and miss and serve God. You can't hit and miss on the bus route and expect kids to come. You can't hit or miss in choir practice and expect to know the song. Everybody's singing out and you're mouthing the word. Somehow the lips don't match the words because you don't know the song. That's okay. But diligence. Moreover, it is found in a steward that a steward must be found faithful. Must be faithful. That's the only requirement. Just be faithful. It is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And so there's diligence. You want to serve the Lord? Just keep on doing it. You want to be a greeter? Just show up. I'm not saying you can't have vacation and stuff, but you got to be there. You got to serve. You got to show up. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. By love, serve one another. That's God's plan for every one of us. Not just a few of us. For every child of God. By love, serve one another. Have you found your place of service? Have you made you a place for service? Don't wait for service to find you. You find a place of service. You volunteer, I guarantee you there'll be a place found for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. It takes diligence. You ever want to quit? Ever work a bus route? If you ever worked a bus route, you've wanted to quit. Years ago, I wanted to get a bus director, and so I went to a well. Members, not the successes. Did I just get on sound? Oh, my battery died. Man, I heal myself so much better. I better start all over. Let's turn. Y'all are in trouble now. My batteries have been extended. Are you diligent? The Bible says to preachers, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. Be instant, in season, out of season. That's true not only for God's men, that's true for every person in the labor, every Christian. Let's labor for the Lord. And then a destination in mind, to the full assurance of hope and to the end. Here, the reference means that we should be diligent in serving one another because of the blessed hope that stands for us. Since God remembers, God rewards. Since he remembers, he rewards. Every little thing. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? But if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you shall in no wise lose your reward. The least little things we do for the cause of Christ, God remembers. God remembers. Every dime we've given to his cause, every effort we've done to help someone else. 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you." I'm talking to faithful people who've given to make this church a reality. Over the years, you've given to missions, you've given to building funds, you've given to youth camps, you've given to the teenagers, you've given to the children, you've given to the school, you've just given. But God remembers every dime given to his cause. And one of these days, what God remembers, God rewards. Finally, and very quickly, let me show you the companions in verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, we don't have to just make it up as we go along. God has given us faithful examples throughout all of Scripture. And by the way, God in your life has given you faithful examples. Maybe it was your mother, maybe it was your father, maybe it was both of them, maybe an older brother, older sister, aunt, an uncle, a grandparent. God has given you a pastor, a youth pastor, a Sunday school teacher. God has given every one of us faithful examples. We don't have to make it up as we go along. We've been given examples. All we have to do is follow. Be faithful in following the examples that God has given us of service to the Lord. Our model, not slothful, but with faith and patience in verse 12. And then our mentors, follow them. Follow that Sunday school teacher who faithfully serves. Not because he had the best lesson in the world every Sunday, but because he's faithfully sharing the word every Sunday. Don't ever have this mentality that every time you come to church, you got to have the glitziest, the best, the loveliest. And sometimes the choir just knocks our socks off, and sometimes they didn't even pull them down. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest. Sometimes the pastor preaches, and you say, "Oh, that was good." And sometimes you wake up and say, "Is it over?" It's just what it is. It's called life. It's called ministry. It's called serving the Lord for all these years. And you get the good, the bad, and the sometimes in between. But you got a model. And you got your mentors. Follow them. Don't be slothful, but be followers of the faithful. We grow by actively learning from those who've gone on ahead of us and have gone before us. Followers of them. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Christ." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." Let me ask you a question. Who's the them in your life? Who's the them you're following? Some of you still have godly parents that are alive. Are you following their faith? You remember the sacrifices. You didn't have everything growing up like other kids had because they were supporting missionaries. You ought to praise God for that, because they were teaching you to invest in eternity, not in things of this earth. You ought to praise God for that. Who's the them in your life? Whose faith are you following? Are you actively following your them? Well, in verse 12, we have our model, not slothful, but in faith and patience. We have our mentors, follow them. And then finally, we have our magnification. Our magnification. In other words, there's going to be a day when God puts the spotlight on you. There's going to be a day at the judgment seat of Christ when you're center stage. And the lights are dim, but the light's on you. The spotlight's on you. Notice what it says here in verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hey, that's what we're going to get in heaven. We're going to inherit the promise. We're going to be magnified because we've served such a wonderful Savior. Romans chapter 4 verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's Abraham. We have Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Earthly rewards or eternal rewards? What's your priority? What's our priority? Earthly rewards? Comfortable life. And by the way, we live in America. You can have a comfortable life. Or are you able to forsake some of that comfort so that others can hear about Jesus? So we can send out more missionaries, so we can be a blessing to more children, so that we can be a help to the teenagers, so we can share the gospel more freely. Earthly, heavenly. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Tonight I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to many workers here at Grandview Baptist Church. And by the way, it takes a lot of workers to make this church work. And we have a lot of good ones. People who love Jesus, just like you do. But I want to just remind you, according to the Word of God, what He remembers, He rewards. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you encourage us by remembering our work and labor of love. And Lord, it is that. I hope our motivation is always that we do it for the cause of Christ. We do it for our Savior's sake, and we do it in your stead. Lord, help us do it to the best of our ability. Lord, there may be some Christian this evening, and as the Word of God's been preached, maybe in their heart the Holy Spirit has said, I need to serve better. I need to do something. I want to do something. Lord, would you fan that flame that you ignited in their heart? Would you let them find a place to serve and a way to serve others and be a blessing to others for the cause of Jesus Christ and in your stead? And Heavenly Father, for those who've been laboring for so long, would you encourage them? Would you wrap them in your arms of love? Would you let them know how much you appreciate them? And would you let us all see that you remember and one day you'll reward? Thank you for your word, dear Lord, and the great encouragement that it is. Lord, if there's someone who's watching online and they've never placed faith in Christ, oh, that tonight they would invite you into their life. They would say, Jesus, please save me. I believe in you. I accept you as my Savior. Please take me to heaven when I die. Lord, I pray that in their own words they would invite you into their heart and they would trust you as their Savior, their only way to get to heaven. Not their goodness, only your goodness. Lord, I pray you'll bless every Christian to be faithful to the end, serving others. Be a blessing to the cause of Christ. We pray all this now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart. Maybe there's something you need to pray about. Maybe you've got tired in laboring. Maybe you've quit for a while and you need to re-enlist. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The piano's playing. Maybe you want to come and have a word of prayer around an old-fashioned altar and just ask God for help. It doesn't matter where you serve God. You need His strength to do it. You cannot do it in your own strength. You can't even keep nursery in your own strength. You've got to have God's blessing, God's power on your life. Let God do something in your heart. My heart. Let's serve the Lord God by serving others. Being a blessing to others. God bless you tonight. Such a joy to have each one of you here. For all these months that we've had COVID, and the one thing I've missed is on Sunday night letting you know how much I love you. And what a joy it is in my heart to be your pastor. I love you so much. I'm so proud of each and every one of you. People say sometimes you got a great church, and I say, I don't know if we have a great church, but I know we have great people because they love Jesus and they love each other. And it's the greatest joy of my life to be your pastor. I always wish I was better. I wish I was more, because I believe that's what you deserve, the very best. I'm not that, but you're getting the best of me I have to offer. And I love you and thank God for you. You're dismissed.